Hello, Gospel for Grampian listeners. It's Work on Air on this lovely 19th of October. Yes, it is episode 70, and we are going on air over a year now, and we thank the Lord for giving us a voice. We are the voice of truth. We speak the word of God without compromising anything from the word of God, and we are privileged and honored and thankful to Gospel for Grampian, who has given us the opportunity to air the voice of truth on air. And today we are going to be talking about women in leadership, and we are going to continue about the life of Maria Woodward Etter and her life as a general in God's army during the late 1800s and early 1900s. She was a forerunner of the Pentecostal movement, and we're going to talk about her leadership qualities as a leader in the times where women didn't have opportunities. But before we do that, I would like to introduce our beautiful speakers today, which is Shanaz, Myrtle, and Erica. And I have a question for you, our lovely air crew. One of the things that Maria said was, you can't do a ministry like this if you're afraid to take risk and if you're afraid of what people might think about you. And then she goes on to say, you cannot build unity and revival by compromising the truth you know. She did not compromise the call of God under persecution. Now, why I'm bringing these two statements up. Today, Myrtle and I had gone to one of the authorities to go and collect our license cards. And whilst we were there, we had a chat with a lovely woman who has children going to high school. And in our conversations, this lovely lady was talking about what the educators are doing in school. What are they teaching? And her son was exposed to a teacher who made them write a composition about toxic masculinity. Now, why I'm bringing this topic up is we are the voice of truth. And so anything that is going to compromise the truth and is going to compromise the life of young adults, it affects us because we stand for women empowerment and we stand for youth empowerment. And we encourage moral regeneration. That is what we stand for in youth empowerment. So when we get educators coming and promoting things that are in conflict to the word of God, it becomes a problem for us because we are an advocate for moral regeneration. And so the educator who is a leader and a woman in leadership makes the children write a topic called toxic masculinity. And this child spoke about the role of a man, a role of a man in a home. A man is the caregiver. A man is strong. A man is supposed to do the things that men do to look after the family in terms of security and safety, etc. When he submitted his composition, the teacher gave him a zero. And the zero was because masculinity apparently is toxic. And he was supposed to write a composition saying it's okay for men to wear dresses and put makeup and put lipstick. Now, talk about compromising who you are and your gender. What are your thoughts about that, ladies? When we think about what Maria said, you can't do a ministry like this if you're afraid to take risk and you're afraid of what people might think. This is one child compared to the entire class that stood against what she said and wrote a proper composition of the role of a man. What do we do in a state when you have women in leadership that are teachers teaching the students to do everything that is in conflict to the word of God? Do you stand for the voice of truth or do you submit? Let's start with Erica.
Hi, Gospel for Grampian listeners. Thank you for this opportunity. Well, anyone asking me that kind of question, and I will immediately react and say, never ever compromise God's word. Never ever. One can, in the beginning, you might experience a lot of opposition. And that is what Maria also, she also had a lot of opposition. I mean, she was arrested in front of the congregation. She was said that she was a witch and all that, but she stood her ground because she knew her God. And I just want to say this scripture in Acts 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost part of the earth. And I believe that Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria today is your family, your community, and you go out into all the earth. And when you stand for the truth of God's word, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Power will be released through you. And the truth of God will touch people. It will do that. And therefore I say that you can never compromise. You have to stand for the truth. God's word tells us we will have persecution if we stand for the name of Jesus Christ. But he is with us. He is with you. If you do not compromise, God will never forsake you. He will not leave you. So I believe not to compromise the word of God, but to stand your ground, to stand in God's truth. And his truth will carry you in the end. Thank you very much, Angelina.
Thank you, Erica. So Shanaz, if we had to talk to these educators, what would you say to them to not mislead the students? Because we are hearing that education throughout the globe is going one way, and that is the opposite way of the word of God.
Thank you, beautiful Angelina, and good day to Gospel for Grampian listeners and to our beautiful air crew. Thank you for the opportunity once again to minister and speak about God's love for us. I like what Erica said, that we need to take courage. And now that the Holy Spirit is with us, Jesus said to his disciples that we should take courage because he's already overcome everything on this world for us. I would say as a parent, I definitely would stand for the truth, and my truth is based on my knowledge of the Word of God. So I would definitely speak to the leadership of the school, get an open dialogue, and make them conscious that children cannot be forced into their belief system. Each family has their own belief system, and based on my truth, knowing that Abba Father created male and female, that is the truth for me and my household, and that we will stand on God's word, on his word, on his truth, and our values is based on God's word, because we are his children. He created us. He created mankind. And therefore, I would not accept these teachings from the various teachers, and neither would I accept their influence. And if it's okay, this persecution to give a child such a low grade because of his truth, and that teaches us as a community, we need to have a voice. As a family, you need to have your voice, and your voice must be heard. It's still important and relevant for us to speak up. We should not be quiet and shy away from these matters when the incorrect lessons are being taught that's going against our personal values and beliefs systems within our families and as communities as well. Thank you, Angelina.
Thank you, wonderful, wonderful Shanaz. Myrtle, you were with me. How are you feeling about what has become of our education system globally?
You know, Angelina, the truth will set you free. That is what the Bible says. And we've got our own opinion. Everybody's got their own opinion. So she can't tell a person what to say. My opinion will be different to your opinion. And he is a Christian child. So can I tell you, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. God is a God of truth. The Holy Spirit will convict that child if he write the wrong stuff. because he is a child of God. So Angelina, I don't agree with what they're doing to the children in the schools. I'm heartbroken to think I've got children, grandchildren that must still go to school. But the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us to do the right thing. Without the Holy Spirit, if you haven't got the Holy Spirit in you, then you know you can't speak the truth. Thank you, Angelina.
Thank you, Myrtle. You know, I love what Shanazi is saying. Gospel for Grampian listeners that are listening to us today, as we talk about women in leadership, don't make an assumption that because your children go to school that they are taken care of in the right perspective. There's your perspective, there's the other's perspective, and then there's God's perspective. And God's perspective is the perspective that sets us free. So I'm encouraging you, parents, please make it your duty to find out what your children are learning in school, and make it your duty to write the word of God in the tablet of their hearts. You know, what I love was when in the Old Testament, God told Joshua that they must write the word of God on their foreheads, on their hands, on the doorpost of their doors. They must write the word of God wherever they can in their home, so that the children and the family can meditate on the word of God, because God knew that there's just so much of corruption out there. If they don't have word in them, they're going to follow the wayward leaders, because for them, they were taught in their home, a leader is somebody you respect and you honor and you submit. But honoring and submitting a leader that's teaching you waywardness, you cannot submit to that practice. So parents, we are encouraging you, get the Bible out and teach your children morality. The Bible, it has been studied throughout the world that the Bible is the only religion that talks about the highest form of morality. If you don't do that and you wonder why your child has become queer in the future, it's because they followed a leader that was teaching them the wrong practices, and you made no effort to find out what they were learning in school. What I loved about this lady, this parent, she was one parent from all the children that went and stood up and said, remark, and remark it with the right perspective, not your personal perspective. So we're asking you, parents, today, make it your duty to get involved with your children's homework, find out what they're studying, and get the word into their hearts so that they can stand for morality and not moral decay. As we now start with our topic today, as we're encouraging women in leadership, we are going to talk about what is a true leader. I love what Miles Monroe talks about in his book, The Spirit of Leadership. He talks about the attributes of leadership. He says true leadership is an attitude rather than a title. It inspires rather than manipulates or controls. When I think about a manager, I think about control. But when I see a leader, I see a coach and a mentor. Leadership is not a pursuit, but a result. I love that. You don't pursue leadership. It is a result. Leadership is not a label you give yourself. Leadership is a privilege given by the followers. Wow, I love that one. Leaders inspire by expressing their inner passion, which resonates with others and causes them to join in pursuing the leader's vision. So a leader, if you're a leader listening to us today, if you don't have inner passion, you are not going to have people support your vision. The source of inspiration in a leader is passion, passion, passion. I mean, I think about leaders, the leaders that I observe, all of them have got passion. So that is why I always say that if you don't have passion, I call you a manager. I call you a manager. True leadership passion is discovery of belief, reason, idea, conviction, a cause not to just live for, but to die for. Wow. Which focuses on benefiting mankind as a whole. I'm going to repeat that. True leadership passion is discovery of your belief, reason, idea, conviction, a cause not to just live for, but to die for, which focuses on benefiting mankind as a whole. I think about Mother Teresa. She's a wonderful expression of leadership when we talk about this quality. She did not live for herself, but she lived for mankind. I think about President Nelson Mandela. He was in prison. It was never about himself. He lived to bring South Africa together in unity. So leadership is never for self. It's always to benefit other people. And we think about Jesus. Jesus came to the earth to save mankind. Leadership is all about selflessness. I love this one from Miles on leadership. Passion comes from purpose. So if you're a woman in leadership today and you don't have purpose, you won't have passion. Because if you have a purpose for something, then you have passion for it. And therefore, it ignites you to keep running even when you have the challenges. Another one I love that he makes a statement on, he says here, the greatest leadership seems to surface during times of personal, social, economic, political, and spiritual conflict. And I think about Maria. Maria went through all of these issues. She had personal issues, social issues, economic issues, because she also had financial challenges. She had spiritual conflict because there was just spiritual warfare all over. And she had political issues because she was a woman. Who wants to listen to a woman? And yet her greatest leadership surfaced during this most difficult times. Talk to us, ladies, about some of the leadership qualities, Shanaz, that came out during these very difficult times that she was facing.
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. When I think of Maria, I think one of the qualities or traits that she displayed is self-awareness. And I think the self-awareness came when she truly allowed the Lord Jesus to reveal who she was in Christ. And that basically was what caused her ministry to take off, because being born in the 1800s, when women having to be in a leadership role was unheard of, she realized that it didn't matter whether she was a female, but because of her self-awareness in Christ Jesus, she really then had this passion and the zeal to uplift her community, the love for her mankind, in demonstrating the love of Christ. Galatians 2 verses 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I believe this scripture allowed her to understand who she was in Christ. That allowed this great self-awareness as a leader to transpire and allow her to fulfill the will of God in a ministry, because she realized that God had loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son so that she could have life and everlasting life, which meant this self-awareness allowed her the ability to stand firm in the call of God, not running away, no longer being in disobedience, but pursuing the will of God with her entire being, knowing that she wants to do this so that she could translate, display, recognize, and demonstrate the power of Jesus Christ in and through her life. This ability of self-awareness allowed her to demonstrate the love of Jesus to mankind, that she had those various evangelistical outreaches, and I believe this self-awareness helped her overcome that great obstacle that a woman should not be in a leadership role, especially in ministry. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
And you know what? I love this quality that you talk about, self-awareness. Self-awareness for me in my own personal life has taught me to be humble. You know, when you become self-aware, you actually get rid of pride, because I begin to judge myself against the word of God. And I realize how wonderful God is and how imperfect I am, and because he is so wonderful, he's given me the title of righteousness as Christ Jesus. So I also believe that to be a dynamic leader, women out there that are in leadership positions, self-awareness is so critical. Because I also think about, Shanaz, when the Bible says, don't focus on the speck in someone else's eye, but look at the plank in your eye. I believe when we become self-aware, it actually humbles us to become non-judgmental, but to understand that we are here not for ourselves, for others, and God will give us the grace and the mandate to do everything we need to do for others without becoming prideful. And I know a lot of people, and I was one of those people, that when you are in a prideful mode, your self-awareness is not about, you know, areas of your life that you need to perfect in Christ Jesus, or that it becomes perfect in Christ Jesus. But a person that is prideful rather focuses on how can I be better than others, and I am better than others. But the self-awareness that Shanaz talks about here is about being in Christ Jesus, totally surrendered to him, so you can let go of that prideful nature. So we encourage you, women in leadership today, become self-aware of who you are in Christ Jesus. Let go of self and become aware of who you are in Christ Jesus. Then you will be able to overcome every situation, and the enemy will not be able to come and tempt you with saying, I'll give you everything if you will bow down and worship me, because that's what pride does. Pride says, I will follow everything of this world, because it's about me, myself, and I. I need to look good. What people think of me matters. What car I drive matters. What house I live in matters. What handbag I have matters. What degrees I have matters. Who are my social networks matter. Who shakes my hand in public matters. That is what pridefulness is. But when you become self-aware through the word of God, you will realize that it's all about God and nothing about you. And it is there where the Lord then lifts you up, because the word of God says the humble will be lifted up, but the prideful will be put down. I love that quality that you speak about, beautiful Shanaz. I want to talk about another quality, and this goes out to Myrtle from Miles Monroe. He says, leaders are often ordinary people who accept or are placed under extraordinary circumstances that bring forth their latent potential, producing a character that inspires confidence and trust within others. I mean, I think about Maria, and we know that she was a leader by note. She managed to have 25,000 people in a meeting where she ministered at a time when women didn't have a voice. She managed to speak to 25,000 people. So obviously, she had a character that inspires confidence and trust within others. That is why they would be there and want to listen to her. And God gave her the ability. She was an ordinary mother who was very sick for most of her married life and had no education, as you would know, Myrtle, and Myrtle brought it up last week. Lived a farm life like me. I'm a farmer's daughter. And eventually listened to the call of God and stepped out. And God does take ordinary people. God doesn't look at people who are qualified. He takes people who are willing, and he qualifies them. Tell us about some of the qualities of her leadership, Myrtle.
You know, what impacted me in her life is Maria had all the qualities of a leader who fought the good fight of faith. I salute this powerful giant in the kingdom of God for a contribution to the acts of God in the end times. She's definitely someone I would have fought out to serve, like Elijah did with Prophet Elijah. I believe by me following her standard, as she followed Christ, I will succeed in living for Christ, and I am fully persuaded now, more than ever, to hear God and step out and run the race he calls me to fulfill with energy, drive, determination, character, action, backed under Holy Spirit's mission. Maria brings refreshment to the body of Christ through making Jesus and Holy Spirit the center, the works and activities in the church, rather than focus on key speakers or lead pastors. It's all about God and not the person preaching. She magnified the Holy Spirit and glorified Jesus in return through her complete submission to God. Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, sons and daughters of God." Romans 5, verse 5 says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." God gave the Holy Spirit to us to lead and guide us daily. You just have to pray and the Holy Spirit will guide you the same way as he did for Maria. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness." Maria had all these fruits of the Spirit in her life. That is why she wanted people to get saved, and she was a very, very good leader if it comes to that. Acts 10:34 says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of person." Gospel for Grampian listeners, if God could do it for Maria, he can do it for you. God don't have favorites. Lessons we all can learn and apply out of Maria's life. She was a team player, getting everyone to work together to build the Church of Christ. As you said, in the 1800s, women was no leaders. She did not take ownership of the church that she established, but rather empowered and appointed leaders through discernment, and gave the full responsibility and accountability for the sustainability of the church, so they can disciple others and grow the body of Christ in the sphere of influence. She stayed and coached them through this process. She adopted a doctrinal framework in 1885 and used that as her basis wherever she went to help and adopt churches in need. She was not afraid to step out in faith and enter new territories or danger territories. And she did not concern herself with reputational or self needs, as she did all in the name of the Lord and leading of Holy Spirit. She was spirit-led and not flesh manipulated. She has showed wonderful tact and wisdom in the conduct of all the meetings by avoiding and prohibiting inspiration, by discerning the mind of the Spirit, so that the meetings never got into a rut. No two services were alike, so she was a good leader in what she was doing. It has been a wonderful demonstration of the unlimited resources of the Holy Spirit when his leadership is recognized. The thrilling moments and climaxes of the services were not managed by human inspiration, but were directed by the Spirit himself as he burst forth with diverse operation and strange acts. Even though Maria was under constant persecution in the ministry, she understood vengeance is the Lord's and refrained from defending herself. Gospel for Grampian listeners, Maria was a spirit-led woman who is an example for all the women around the globe, a good leader an excellent leader, especially now that we live in the end times. Thank you, Angelina.
What I like you saying there, Myrtle, is that to be in authority, you have to be under authority. And what you are depicting is that she was under the authority of the Holy Spirit. And in total submission to the Holy Spirit, that is what made her a great leader. And I just love that Jesus also shows us how important it is to be under submission in order to be a dynamic leader. Because when he came on the earth, he left his leadership and he came and he submitted to the Holy Spirit and he submitted to the Father. And he said, I only do what I see the Father do, and I only say what the Father tells me to say. And we hear that, or we read that in the life of Maria. Her submission to the Holy Spirit is what made her a great leader. So, Gospel for Grampian listeners that are women in leadership, we encourage you, if you want to be a great leader, you have to submit to authority, the authority that you placed in your workplace or wherever you serve, as well as the most important authority, which is God Himself. To be in authority, you have to be under authority, because authority protects you. So, to our beautiful Erica, who is a Deborah and is an interpreter of dreams and visions, I have a question for you. Maria says this. She says, dreams and visions should not be ignored. She highlights that there is a real and false visions and dreams. She says we must align ourselves with the right and resist the wrong. Now, in her own life, every time she had a vision from the Lord, she seen another which was counterfeit. And she says we need to align ourselves to the visions and dreams that aligns to the Word of God. Now, Erica, as a leader, for us, having a vision is so important, because it is the vision that produces passion that causes us to want to move forward. Okay? We have a vision. That means I have purpose, and then I've got passion and I want to run. Now, how do we know what is a God vision and what is a God dream versus false? Can you help us?
Thank you, precious Angelina. Yes, this is quite exciting, I must say, because I was listening to our precious Myrtle, and I just want to say to the listeners of Gospel for Grampian that when I'm finished what I'm saying, just go back to what Myrtle has said, and you'll put the picture together. I just want to highlight 3 points out of being a godly leader. Now, a leadership perspective is to keep your eye on the big picture. Remember, leaders must understand their priorities before they can implement them. Now, remember, when we want to be able to discern between a godly vision or a counterfeit vision, we have to have in us the purity and knowing that when we have a vision, who is it from? So to have a pure leadership profile, it has to be godly. So to understand, the first one is that leadership must understand their priorities, because it's all about perspective. Now, what the second one is, that leadership means that you lose your right to be selfish. We cannot be selfish. We need to know that there's nothing to be selfish, because as Shanaz also said, self-awareness is to be self-aware that we can do all things through Christ who is in us. Our self-awareness is all knowing that Jesus in us brings us the truth. So priority equals, if I forget the ultimate, I'll be enslaved to the immediate. So we must realize and understand that the ultimate is where we are going to. And we must not lose the sight that we don't have a right to be selfish. Now, if we read in Haggai chapter 1, the builders in Haggai's day had left their original purpose to construct the temple and instead went to work on their own houses and businesses. Now, it took a leader like Haggai to call them back to their purpose. So if I can speak to the women in leadership, that, as I said, that we need to lose our right to be selfish so that we can bring back those to their purpose. And the third one is teachability. I believe this is a very big one. God leaders are continual learners. We must keep learning or we will stop leading. We cannot afford to stagnate, for our world and our people are changing too quickly. So I've mentioned 3 points here. And why I said that when I'm finished, that the listeners must go back to what Myrtle has said, is because in the beginning, as we know or already know, that Maria grew up in an era where women were not allowed to preach. So I believe that the life that she had when she was still young, that is why she became timid and she was filled with fear. And remember, as Myrtle said, that she had leadership qualities. Now God has placed those leadership qualities inside of her, but the enemy will come to us and he will say, oh no, you're not good enough. Or remember what the world is saying, what the law is saying. But I believe the day when she said yes to the call of God, remember, I think it was 20 years prior, 20 years after that call, she said yes. And then all of a sudden, everything just came into place inside of her and made her character to transform. And however fears and trepidations and sickness and death and impoverished conditions, everything that she had in her life, when she embraced the vow to serve the Lord fully, she was revived. And that was when her true nature in Christ was revealed. And from being timid and fearful, she became flamboyant, zealous, courageous. She became well-spoken, bold, and relentless in her ministerial call. The devil brought history into her ministry, but her transformed nature in Christ put to death her previous nature, where this time she opposed satanic influence in the battlefield. And I believe in all this, she knew her perspective. She knew her priority. And she knew to be teachable, continuously to be teachable. And that is why I believe she allowed the Holy Spirit to teach her continuously. She allowed the Holy Spirit to tell her what to say, what to preach, that she didn't even put her sermon on paper. The Holy Spirit would give her a scripture, and then she would preach, and it would be a firecracker sermon. And it would take 75 minutes, 2 hours. And that is what I believe, that in all this, a powerful leader is one that serves, is one that's humble, is one that's teachable, is one that has his or her priorities and has the eye on the bigger picture, not to lose heart and not to lose focus on the one who is the one that gets all the glory. Because as we heard earlier, that this schoolboy, and he wrote his essay about a man in the house, and he wrote down the truth, and he was persecuted for the truth. But him, I believe, being relentless in standing strong, and us as leaders being relentless in standing on the truth of God's word, on knowing that he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world, we will lead forward and we will bring the truth as Holy Spirit will breathe His truth upon the hearers. And a leader is also, as we lead, we serve so that we can help the follower to become a leader. And how do we do that? Because Jesus Christ was the leader, and yet He served. And He gave us an example to follow. And He said, follow in my footsteps. My word is your lamp on how to walk. I believe that to be a leader is to follow Christ and to allow Holy Spirit to move in us and to be willing, for He is the one that makes us able. Thank you very much, Angelina.
Thank you, beautiful Erica. Ladies, I'm opening this topic for your opinion. We start with Shanaz. Does leadership come with accountability? Is God going to judge us for the role that He's given us as leaders? What are your thoughts on that?
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. I definitely do believe it does come with accountability. And the Father will keep us accountable, because He's giving us a vision and we become accountable for that vision. As Erica said, there's a vision that you as the leader, you have a vision that is downloaded from Abba Father. And that means we become accountable for that vision. We have the ability in Christ, and our confidence comes in knowing that we know whose we are, and we know that in relationship, You will fulfill us being able to love out that vision. And therefore, our own insecurities, or where we feel we have a lack of ability, should not deter us from being able to execute the vision that the Lord is empowering us with, or rather entrusting us with. Matthew 6 verse 6 says, and I believe this is where Maria found her power, her confidence, her ability to execute the vision, because we know that when she was still wrestling with the call of God in her life, we see through disobedience, she delayed it. So we are accountable, just like Maria was accountable for the call of God in her life, so too are we when God entrusts us with a vision that He lays on our hearts, that we need to execute it. So how did Maria get the confidence? It was through in a closet time that she stayed with Abba Father, praying and seeking God. And how do we know that she actually executed the will of God? How was she accountable? It was how she demonstrated when she relayed the message to the believers or the non-believers, how she uplifted and empowered the other believers to ensure that they can continue with the church. She empowered them with confidence. Her confidence was not in self. As you said earlier, Angelina, it's about being conscious about not being prideful, but rather knowing that her ability was in Christ, and therefore she could confidently deliver the message that God laid on her heart. So I do believe I am accountable. I will one day be accountable before the Lord in judgment for all my deeds and actions. And if I do not continue to pursue what He wants me to do, He will find another available vessel. He will seek another available vessel that will be obedient. And just like beautiful Myrtle and Erica spoke about their passion for Abba Father's work, you know, even through all the challenges, she had such endurance. She demonstrated resilience. She was constantly faced with challenges, but yet, because she was accountable for this dream that God gave to her, this desire for His word to be spread, she executed that through her life. She became that willing and able vessel so that Jesus could be glorified, so that souls could come into the kingdom of God. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
Thank you, Shanaz. I'm directing this question to our Erica. Erica, while women are getting lots of opportunities in the current dispensation that we are living in, men are being pulled down. And how do you encourage a woman in leadership where she's like Maria, she's got this position to lead, and the public are detesting her husband? I think about Maria. She had regular opposition against the workings of God in her life, and her supporters detested her ex-husband. While they were married, her supporters detested him, but she respected both the authorities, the authority of God, which the world hated, and the authority of her husband, which her supporters hated. She did not rebel against God, and neither did she rebel against her husband, even when the public expressed otherwise. We are living in a dispensation where people are coming against our family members and our own personal authorities because of the position that God has put us in. How do we stay under submission? Because as a woman that is married, my husband is my protection in terms of spiritual covering. In the work, my boss is my protection. God is my protection. So if anybody comes against my boss, anybody comes against my husband, anybody comes against God, I cannot rebel against these key authorities. How do you encourage women to submit to those authorities even when their supporters detest those authorities that they are called to submit to? I think about David. David had to submit to Saul, and that is why he ran from him, in order to respect and honor his submission, because he knew that Saul was going to kill him, but he had to submit because God anointed that authority to be there. How do we submit in these end times?
Thank you, Angelina. I am reminded of Sarah when they came to the king, and Abraham said to Sarah, "You tell the king you're my sister." And because Sarah, I believe with all my heart, was focused on God, she did what her husband said. And she told the king, "Yes, I'm his sister." And the king, and you know what? And I believe she knew what's going to happen if you think on what the idea of the king was. And he took her into her harem. And how God came to the king that night, because I believe that Sarah was truly focused on the Lord, having her trust in him that he would protect her with whatever might happen. And God came in a dream to the king. And the next morning, the king came to Abraham and said, "Why didn't you tell me it's your wife?" And what did he do? He gave him so much and said, "Please just take your wife and go." And he gave him cattle and he made him rich. And that is what I believe, that if we as women, as leaders, keep our eyes focused on the one who is our leader, Jesus Christ, he will always bring us out into victory. That first of all, like Sarah, submit, and God will direct. She was a quiet woman, and by submission, I'm not saying you never speak, but by submission, God is the one that is going to protect you. I mean, it was a scenario that was really very impossible to come out of, knowing that if the king just saw this beautiful woman and he wanted her for his harem. And God protected her because she submitted to her husband, but her trust was in her God. If I submit to my husband and I submit to my leadership, God is going to protect me, to bring me out, even if my mind says, "Oh, this is an impossible situation." But I step forward, first of all, submitting to God, knowing that he is my protector. I believe truly that in a world that we're living in, that is so, it is so totally different, It's a world that has got no morals. It's a world that wants us to compromise with everything that comes to us. But God's word says that if we stand on the unshakable rock, He will see to it that we will not be shaken. And I believe His word above any other word. And I just want to encourage women in leadership to truly submit to God's word. And He will direct you how to submit to your husband, to authorities, that, and in your sphere of leadership, He will direct us how to submit so that He will get the glory in every area of our life. Thank you, Angelina.
Thank you, Erica. So, Gospel for Grampian Women in Leadership. Hear the words that Erica has been saying. Submit, submit, submit. Submission, first of all, should be to the Word of God. And when you honor the Word of God, God will direct you how to submit to others, because in submission you have protection. Myrtle, anything you'd like to say about Maria's life that has charged you up and encouraged you to run your race?
Angelina, I want to say something about leadership. In James 3:1, the word says, not many of you should become teachers or leaders. My fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. So please, if you know the Holy Spirit led, if you don't do what God wants you to do, rather don't be a leader or rather don't be a teacher, because God will judge you one day. Thank you, Angelina.
And so the voice of truth speaks. So all our teachers that are listening to our women in leadership, you are called to lead thousands of children on a yearly basis. Remember what Myrtle has said today from the book of James. If you are going to be a teacher, you are going to be judged. So make sure that whatever you teach, you are going to influence for eternity, because there will be judgment if you teach children the wrong path. We are speaking from our heart of empowering youth. We are called to promote moral regeneration and spirituality. And so we come against anybody that will teach children contrary to moral regeneration. Last words, beautiful Shanaz.
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. And I thank you, Maria, truly was abiding in Christ, as John 15 verses 4 to 7 says. And I think she demonstrated this so well, because to be an evangelist, you have to understand the territory that you're going out to. And so she truly allowed Abba Father to have her abide in Him. She was not doing anything from herself. She knew that Abba Father was a source. And when she went out, that's why we can see in Maria's life why healings took place, deliverance took place, because she was abiding in Abba Father. So I want to encourage the leaders, the women this evening, that we should abide in Christ, just like Jesus demonstrated He was abiding in Abba Father. He did nothing of Himself except when the Lord led Him to do what He needed to do. And we know that God sent Jesus to redeem us, but we learn through the Holy Spirit. And Maria demonstrated that without education, she was teachable through the Holy Spirit. She found her wisdom in Christ by abiding in Him. So I encourage you this evening, abide in Christ. Thank you.
Last words, beautiful Erica. Thank you, Shanaz.
Thank you so much. I believe that we should walk in spiritual discernment, that we should create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to freely move in. It does not matter where we are. It does not matter if it's at home or at the office or in a community or even at a social function. we should create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to freely move so that we can then discern the spiritual realm. I just want to say what Maria also said. She said, let the Holy Ghost work in any way that agrees with the Word of God. And we are truly, I believe, a walking Word of God. And if we allow that, Holy Spirit will definitely work and walk in and through us so that others can be touched and that we can be highly sensitive in discerning evil from good and knowing where to go and how to act or react in a certain situation.
Myrtle, some last words?
To abide to the Holy Spirit. If your Holy Spirit led, you can do anything. God is not a respecter of people. He loves all people. He's got no favorites. So if you ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you, He will most definitely lead and guide you the right way and not the wrong way. Thank you, Angelina.
Thank you. So our gospel for Grampian listeners, we've come to an end to our Women in Leadership. We trust that you have been encouraged and blessed, and hoping that you will take some wonderful nuggets from Women in Leadership on what women should do as leaders in this current dispensation, and it'll inspire you to be a great and dynamic leader. Notice we have not taught you the general norm of what leadership is all about, but we've been using the qualities that made Maria Woodward Etter a sustainable leader over 50 years using her life experiences. We learn better by watching other people and how they've led. And that is why we brought her life to show you that sustainable leadership qualities are the ones that are depicted in Maria's life. And thank you, Gospel for Grampian listeners, for tuning in to yet another episode. We end this show today with Sammy Pizzo singing this beautiful song by William McDowell, Stay. It's a beautiful worship song, and Sammy Pizzo really, really did justice to it. So please enjoy this beautiful song.
Never wanted to end. first day. I don't want you to go. Cause my heart is burning in your presence, Lord. Please stay. I don't want you to go. Cause my heart is burning in your presence, Lord. I want more. I want more. I want more. Jesus, I want more. I want more. Your Holy Spirit, Jesus, I want more. If you need Him more and more, Jesus, we pray for more of you, Jesus. We pray for your Spirit, your Holy Spirit in our homes, Jesus. We want more of you, Jesus. More of you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we want more of you, Jesus. We pray for more of you, and we pray for your visitation. We want more of you, Jesus. We open up our hearts to you, Jesus. We want more of you, more of you. Hungry for you. Our hearts are ready. Our hearts are open, Jesus. We want more of you, Jesus. If you want more of Him, call on Him. Ooh, we want more of you. We want more of you, Jesus. Hey, Jesus. One more. So I stay where else will I go? Cause my heart is burning. My heart is burning. My heart is burning for you, Jesus. My heart is burning. Oh, I love you, I love you. My heart is burning. Your presence, Lord.